Well, praise God. Well, we had a good time the other night during the parade. If you want to see the float, it is sitting out front. It was a kind of a spur of the moment. Angela said, you know what? Instead of spending all that money on an advertisement that goes in the paper that people may or may not see, let's make sure they see our thank you. So I said, it's all you. It's all yours, baby. Go for it. So she did a great job. Fantastic job. Yes. She doesn't even realize it was for her. She was lost in the sauce. Yeah, it was good time. And, you know, I'm amazed at the number of people that were out Friday night. I mean, I've been out there for the Memorial Day parade, and you could probably throw a stick, maybe hit somebody. But the other night, the whole square was packed up to about 10 people deep all the way around, I think. And that didn't include people down the highways or down the roads. And it was totally amazing, you know, for me. I was just like, man, I'm freezing to death. I know the rest of you were pretty cold too. I had intentions of riding in the truck. I was going to be the pastor at road in the passenger seat waving with a heated seat, you know, and all that, waving, smile and wave, boys. Well, Justin didn't dress appropriately, and he was freezing. However, I wasn't dressed appropriate either. But I will say, Pat, that vest is really warm. I wore it. Yeah, he was glad I was in the box. But yeah, I wore the box, and I got up there, you know, and I realized something. The little kids loved that. It did not. Once I realized that all these little kids that were just waving, and once I made contact with them, eye contact with them, and waved at them, man, they just went nuts. And I was like, this is cool. So it was a pretty fun time. Do it again, I'll be wearing long johns. Praise God. Oh, now I do have one correction. Last week I asked for the reference of an author and realized I gave the wrong author, wrong book. It was C.S. Lewis and The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, not Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings. I gave the wrong reference. I was thinking, oh, Jason's probably thinking, Pastor, you gave the wrong one. But anyhow, praise God. Was there something there? It seemed like there was something else I was going to share real quick, but no, maybe not. All right. Well, as you know, today is our war on the floor. And today I want to just talk a little bit before we get into down to the nitty gritty and talk to you about prayer. You know, so many things that people been taught about prayer is honestly wrong. Pray, 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 pray until something happens. Well, you can pray, 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 but if you keep praying, pray, 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 aren't you worrying about that happening? That's what you're doing. Oh God, I need this, I need this. And then you can't handle when it doesn't happen. So there's some things we need to understand about when we pray and take it to God. See, there's one word we never hear from God. No. It's not because he didn't say it. It's because we didn't want to hear it. Now, there were many years ago, I had a pastor of ours. He was talking about prayer. And he told the congregation, he said, straight up, I will not pray for your unspoken prayer request. If you cannot tell me what it is, I will not pray for it. And I'll tell you why. He used to pray for them. Then he found out what her unspoken prayer request was. That his wife would die and he would fall in love with her. Yeah, you can just hold your prayer request. Ain't happening. See, that's witchcraft. And to be honest with you, even witchcraft knows you can't control somebody's personal free will. The sacrifice had to be willing. We didn't take Jesus, him kicking and dragging to the cross. He went willingly. He knew what was required and he paid that price willingly. But Jesus taught us so much about talking to God and about understanding our prayers. And I think if we understand our prayers, come on, folks, if you aren't praying right now, there's something wrong with you. This world is starting to fulfill the book of Revelation. And I'll tell you, here's how the Holy Spirit, if you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about, oh man, you get goosebumps every 5 seconds, or man, you get bad vibes, or you know, bad juju off of people. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Listening to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Bible says the Holy Spirit will reveal all truth. Will he not? The other day, y'all paid attention to the North Carolina baby, right? The other day, I told Angela, I said, something's wrong. They're lying. This was 2 or 3 days ago. As you know, I believe it was yesterday or the day before. In the last 2 days, the boyfriend has been arrested and they have found the body. See, most people were still praying for that. Now, you need to pray for justice. And I'll be honest with you. I know what the flesh and blood art would like to drive to Jacksonville and do. I know where Onslow County jailhouse is. I have friends who work in there. The dirtbag doesn't deserve to live. I'll just put it that way. I hope he finds God's mercy, but there's still laws on the books. But the truth of the matter is, we also need to be praying for our justice system. If the judicial system had been doing its job, the baby would be alive. Because that boyfriend had been charged. But we want to pray according to our flesh, not according to the Spirit, not according to the will of God. The will of God was not that that child die. We need justice. Well, that means somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's already gotten hurt. And what God told us in the very beginning, you know, we need to understand something. When you kill somebody, he said, then your life is required. Well, that all went away with Jesus. No, it didn't. That is a law of this planet. Cut and dry. God did not create, the only laws God created that do not affect this planet were all the laws for being holy for Israel, to prove to them that they can't be. That was the whole point. You know, if we will get hold of understanding that, we will say, oh my goodness, I do that just because I think I'm holy. And God said, your holiness is as filthy rags. In other words, your holiness was the dirty rag that I used to wipe up oil off the floor the other day. That's how clean your holiness is to him. Without the blood of Jesus paying that price, our holiness is nothing. So laws, those laws are on the books. They will be on there until this earth is, and God hits the reset button. Okay? So we need to know how to pray when we go before God. Do we go worrying? Do we go ritually? Do we go because, oh, God's going to be mad if I don't pray today? Or God's going to be mad if I'm 5 minutes late to my prayer time? No. Listen, you took it away from a relationship, and now you're bound. Thank you. Legalism. You are bound to legalism. That was the word I was looking for, and it had gone. You are bound to something that's no more a relationship. Your relationship with God is like Prince Charles and Princess Diane. It was nothing more than legal. There was no love. Oh, yeah, they produced children. Legally. They didn't love each other. So, that's what we do to God with our prayer time. God, I'm just going to keep hammering the gates of heaven. You ain't going to get your prayer request answered. Because there's something I'm going to show you today. You're asking a wrong. You're asking, as Jesus put, amiss. You missed the target. You missed the point. So, open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to verse 20. Now the disciples they're looking at the fig tree that Jesus spoke to the day before, and it's dead now. That's a whole other subject. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed, it will be cast into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever we ask the Father in his name, Jesus also said, he'll do it. But see, here's the thing. We look at things and we say, I want you to move. The mountain? I want this mountain moved. Sometimes God wants you to go over the mountain. Sometimes God wants you to go around the mountain. There's a reason for everything in your life. God doesn't make people die. He doesn't cause this stuff to happen. But he knows the beginning from the end. So he knew all of it. And that's what I tell people. When they've lost a loved one, they don't know for sure. I said, you have to hold on to the hope that they knew that they could say, Lord, forgive me. That's all you got to say. I receive you, Jesus. It's done. Okay, I've got several family members who were on their deathbeds. They did not get back up. Now, does that mean that they get to heaven and we all standing in the same line for reward? No. They just got salvation. The crowns and things that God talks about in the Bible, which it gets kind of confusing because people focus on crowns and giving them away. That's a whole other subject, but let's get back to prayer. So we have to believe. When we go to God, we have to believe that he will. But as I said earlier, we don't want to hear the word no. All we want to hear is yes, 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 yes. I remember asking God for this particular, Lord, I want to date this girl. I want to marry that girl. You know what God said? I never heard it. He kept saying no. I thought, God, you're so mean. I think she's the prettiest thing that ever walked the earth. I've been head over heels since the fourth grade, Lord. I will be honest with you to this day. God gave me the best woman ever. And having been on this side now, I can look back and oh my Lord. She didn't age well. And she sounds like somebody who drives me nuts. There's a particular person who sounds just like her, and I can't stand them. I was like, I can't imagine being married to that. I would literally walk around my fingers in my ears because I just couldn't. It just grates on me. I said, Lord, you knew what you were doing. You saved me from myself. You weren't being mean. You were protecting me. Now again, God doesn't cause bad things to happen in your life. They are going to happen. How we handle them. And let's quit making excuses and telling people, this is why this happened to you. More than likely, there's no solid reason why something happened. Why did I break my leg the first time? Well, the reason I got when I got back to the house is I was a hellion in rebellion against God and against my parents, and that God was punishing me. You know why I broke my leg? Because sleet had fallen. And my dad's homemade sled, I had broke it several times hitting stumps that he didn't cut close enough, and I would break the 2x4 in the front. So he went to the barn, got an oak 2x4, and when I mean 2x4, it was a 3x5. Guess what broke? It was my leg. The sled never got rode again, but boy, was it fast. That's why I broke my leg. Wasn't it because God was trying to punish me? Did God use that opportunity to protect me? Looking back, yes, he did. But I honestly could have done without the guilt and condemnation of I was a bad boy. That has a bigger effect on you than you think. Totally wrong. Then the second time it happened, well, I got the same thing. I'm like, what, I didn't learn the lesson 6 months ago? You got to break it again? Had nothing to do with it. I wasn't allowed to play football, so I didn't know how to cut. And that's all it was. I tried to plant my foot at full speed, and my foot stayed place. The ankle on the leg snapped. Felt good. Felt wonderful. Tickled. looking back and understanding what shock is. I learned about shock in the Marine Corps. I was going into shock. But you see, people pray about God's will. God's will is not to break my leg. God's will was for me to grow up to be here. That was God's will. Life happened. However, when we pray, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was the subject of this for a while. Because, you know, we were always, you know, in church, it was you can only date a Christian girl. I agreed with that for a while. And then I found out some of the Christian girls that were supposed to be Christians really weren't Christians. They were just in church. And so I started getting a little sidetracked and got ticked. But one of the things that started happening, this is when the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it stuff really kicked in. And this is where it's wrong. You cannot name and claim a person. You can't do it. So stop it. If it's to be, let God work it out. But there, one was an elder in the church who was claiming me to be his son-in-law. I liked his daughter as a friend. That was it. Had another person claiming me as their son-in-law. No. Your daughter had her chance. You only get one chance. No. But you cannot take somebody else's will away out of it. Well, there's only one person in the world for me. No, there's not. If I had never came around, God would have had somebody just as good for her. He would have. Now, whether there'd been somebody just as good for me, I don't know. But, see, we look at it, well, that's the only option. There's only one person. Well, there is now. But let's be honest. What happens if your spouse dies? That was the only person. You know, if you're reading the Bible, if you're under 60 and your husband died, ladies, you were to get remarried. Under 60. Man, we got people who get, you know, they're widowed at 25 or 30 or 40. Oh, that was the only person for me in the world. Listen, I understand mourning. You're going to get lonely. You got used to that connection. And if you just keep harboring back here, this was it, your life is stuck. Now, I do not wish anything on anybody. My family, they pray every morning for us. Many times after I share what happened to me that day, they're like, well, good thing we prayed for you this morning. So whatever things we ask in prayer, believing, and we will receive it. But it's got to be, and I didn't put this into reference, but in Matthew, hang on 1 second here. I believe it's chapter 6. Jesus is talking about how to pray. And one of the things he's teaching is, this is the Lord's Prayer, he said, your will be done. See, we don't pray God's will. We want our will. Honestly, if we'd have gone my will, I would have went to work right out of high school, been a journeyman lineman, making tons of money, moved out of Morrow County. I got to move out. I found out there are worse places. At that time, Onslow County, North Carolina was one of them. But he said, your will, Father. Remember when he prayed, was praying the night he was being betrayed? He's like, Lord, this is what we record. But I just can't help but wonder if he's not coming up with the way that God could redo this. God, you know, maybe we could do this. Father, what about this? This is an option. But nonetheless, Lord, not my will, your will. We don't pray that. We want our will. Well, it's because that's what we've been taught. It's not our will. It's God's will. People can say, well, I don't like President Trump. Well, tough. It was God's will. You better get on board and pray for him. Because he is leading this country. I'm sure that Peter loved Caligula. Y'all probably heard, you know, if you've been in school, you've heard a little bit about Caligula. Probably the most vile, violent emperor Rome ever had. Married his sister, killed her husband. Not much unlike the little rocket man. He's killed family members. Or, you know, the Husseins. Saddam, his sons, killing off their brother-in-laws. We have got to learn to pray according to the will of God and accept what God has said. That's not my will. Angela and I, God gave me a vision that I was in a kitchen. She said I had a similar. I was doing dishes at that sink. We never thought about moving into. I didn't want to move into town. I grew up in the country everywhere I went. She grew up in the middle of 100 acres. That's fabulous. That is living to me. But then God shows us that we're in this kitchen and we're entertaining and suddenly we're in town. I have a lot that wasn't much bigger than this building. And so we bought the house. And we were there. And we learned to love it. And we it really was a beautiful house. Just wish it had 5 or 6 more lots with it. Maybe 7, 8. A dozen. Push my neighbors just a little further away. But you know what God did? That was His will that we were there. We tried to sell that house at least four times during 15 years we lived there. 4 to 5 times. Man. People go, oh, it's a beautiful house. It's a beautiful house. You want to buy it? Nope. Oh, why'd you waste my time? She baked your cookies. Come on, she baked your cookies. You want to buy the house. But it wasn't God's will. God's will for us was to find someplace we would be happy. Never feeling like there could be more, you know, we're missing something. The whole reason why God held off was because the house that we needed to be at was not available. Well, couldn't God just have made those people want to move sooner? God's not going to move somebody else's will to suit your prayer request. You need to learn to have patience. That's where faith comes into play. Okay, God, there's a reason. And there is an absolute fantastic reason for it all to happen. God moved everything. Even when the devil tried to stop it, shut down the federal government, the guy buying our house couldn't get financed. He had to jump through the hoops. My financing was secured. All I had to do was wait. Now, I will say this. We went out nearly every day, sat on that front porch. Occasionally, you'd go through the house. The realtor would call me and ask me what the code was. Yeah, the code's this. Can you just meet the inspector there? Yeah, I'll be there. But I'm telling you, folks, lining up with the will of God moves things. You can say, well, that's just dishonest that you knew the code. Listen, I know the code for every one of that particular realtor's houses. She gave it to me. Because I do work on them. Somebody needs something, sometimes she calls me. But the whole point came around, I got to walk through the house with the inspector who was going to thumb down it. But I told him, I can do the work. I just need to get in. He said, you know what? This reminds me of my grandpa's farm. I said, you're good. Honestly, the house would have failed. It should have failed. But God moved on it because it was now in his will. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter, 21. I'm not certain how I missed that one, but no, wait a minute. I jumped. What did I do? Jump ahead? No, go to Matthew 7. There we go. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who finds, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. This is not saying stand at the door and beat until this guy opens the door and hits you in the head with it. It means know that that's the door you're supposed to be knocking on. So many people are knocking on doors that are not ever going to open. Because God did not tell you to do that. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Here's the first thing the body of Christ needs to quit doing. Listening to other people. Listen to the Holy Spirit for yourself. It's not my life. I don't care what you do. There are times God has told me somebody wasn't supposed to do something. But it's not my job, because they're spirit filled, to tell them what to do. If they come and they say, Pastor, what do you think? I say, well, I don't have any checks about it. Go for it. But I have told people in times, preached it. People ignored what I said. Well, they opened the door. Sometimes you can force a door open and regret it. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who is, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now here's something that I just caught today. Therefore, this is a word stating that all of what he just spoke is reliant. And my Bible changed pages. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, this fulfills all scripture. So if you're trying to believe for stuff and you're treating people bad, you aren't getting good things. God has mercy and you will get tripped. You will get the scraps that fall off the table. Are you hearing me? Those are the scraps that the Samaritan woman, the Canaanite, she spoke of. She said, Master, even the little dogs get the scraps. Now, if your dog's big enough like ours, he sits there and looks at you at the table until you finally throw him something. He don't care what it is. It's something that he finds better than his food. And he will gladly wait. Now, if y'all can imagine an 80-pound dog crawling underneath the table with six people sitting around it, there's the table legs, there's 12 legs, plus the chair legs, and an 80-pound dog that thinks he's still a puppy that's slinking around in there and laying on top of people's feet, waiting for something to fall. That's what you are when you aren't treating people right. Is that how you want to be treated? Well, no, but ain't no buts about it. You have to be above and be above that reproach. So when you ask God for things, you better be believing that he's going to do them because you've been living a righteous life. Well, I just started tithing. God's going to open, move on you, but you want to keep that door open. Well, I just started being nice to people. Well, keep it up. It's contagious. Start smiling. Well, I ain't got nothing to smile about. Find something. Think about something that made you laugh. I can't tell you how many times sometimes I'll be driving down the road and something will cross my mind. I'll just start smiling. Why am I smiling? Because that made me laugh. It was funny. I like two genres of movies, action and comedy. I love to laugh. I'll watch a drama if she forces me. I mean, if there's gunfire and explosions in it, I'm okay with it. But unfortunately, in dramas, it's usually not good against evil. But when we want to pray, we need to go to God. Now, here, I'm going to tell you something about the name of Jesus. I just caught, and I will always pray in the name of Jesus. But you don't have to, when you pray, you know, honestly, when you go before God, you are there in the name of Jesus. You're already there. The blood of Christ that covers you says, I'm already there. When I wore a uniform and I put my uniform on, see, we put on the robe of righteousness. That is the blood of Christ. When I would put my uniform on, there's this little thing on the left breast pocket we called a club patch. Okay, we couldn't wear it until we were a member of the club. Today they give you your Eagle, Globe, and Anchor. We got an iron-on. And that iron-on said, I'm a Marine. It then gave me rights to do things. I was treated as a human being again. But you see, when you put the blood of Christ on, when you receive God, Christ's love and what he did for us, you put on that robe of righteousness. Every time you go before the Father, you are there in the name of Jesus. A police officer does not have to say, halt in the name of the law. Why? Because there's this little thing he wears on his or her chest. It's usually gold, sometimes silver. It's a badge. It identifies who he is. But more importantly, it identifies their authority as given to them. Well, you know, I know Jesus. I'm going to tick some people off here right now. His name's really not Jesus. It's Yeshua. Anybody ticked? By the way, that's Joshua. Jesus' name really is Joshua. Jesus is the Roman name. So, you know, we got two of them here. We're praying in their name. It's because the name means Jehovah saves. But you see, we're so stuck on legality, we're afraid. Listen to the Holy Spirit for yourself. Nobody cares about your life more than you do. I hope. If you don't care that much for your life, nobody else is going to. You've got to go, God, what about my life? You know, I've told you before, I said, talk to God as if he's your friend. He's your best friend who, no matter what you say to him, he's not going to leave you. Talk to him. Ask him, God, what do I do? He'll give you a decision. Well, I need to fast and pray. You don't have time always to fast and pray about every decision, do you? Boy, if you do, I'd like to come into your life where decisions are like that. Sometimes decisions hit you. I got to make it now. What do I do? So God told us all of this. Now, there's something I wanted to see up here. And this is something else about prayer. We think that if we keep saying the same prayer over and over and over, God's going to move. Matthew, it's not going to come up here, chapter 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Let me tell you, God really laid it on me this morning on the way in. Christianity is simple. Supposed to be. Faith is supposed to be simple. Salvation is simple. But no, we've created an entire world where the gospel of Jesus Christ is broken down into all these segments. Instead of teaching people to believe, we teach them about salvation. We teach them all about the demons in hell and all this stuff, which all that stuff is good to know. But then we go from demons, we go into the blessing, we go into what you do, what you don't do, the hierarchy of the church, blah, 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 this, that. And to be honest with you, they forgot the most important thing about God, His grace. It's simple. You receive it. That's it. Here, give me your purse. I just received it. It's that simple, folks. That simple. You believed, you received. I believed when I said, give me your purse, she gave it to me. Not because I was holding her up at gunpoint. She gave it to me because there's nothing in it that I want. I've been in there. That's the point of no return for any man. Woman's purse. Off limits. Yeah, it's the truth, isn't it? Yes. We'll leave it at that. You can ask her. I don't like getting in her purse. She's like, it's in my purse. I'll go get her purse and hand it to her. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask them. By the way, praying for personal things down here is just a little part of it. You are allowed to ask God for things, just like we're going to do here in a moment. But you don't have to beat your head on the floor. You don't have to be like the prophets of Baal in Elijah's time, and they beat themselves with whips and they cut themselves. That was actually a thing that was taught by the Catholic Church in the early years. They would beat themselves with whips as penance, so the blood of Christ doesn't do anything. They don't believe what the Bible says. They're stuck in religion. Because if they believe what the Bible says, first off, the Pope would not be praying with Muslim shaman. Just saying. I believe there are many good Catholics who understand God's love. I'm dead set against the organism that has become the church. Oh, we all serve the same God. No, we don't. Jehovah is Jehovah. Allah is their God, little g. He's not our God, big G. But when we ask God for things, believe we will receive them. That's why people have been healed. But listen, you cannot force your will onto somebody else. They don't want to be healed, they ain't going to be healed. They like the attention for the most part. By the way, here's something else. If the Bible tells you to seek, isn't that what he said? He said, seek. You know, Morgan, you guys prayed for a house for quite a while, right? Did you just come here and ask God to provide you with a house, or did you come and ask God to help you find a house and then go out and look? They went out and looked. It's what we all should do. You knock on the door. If the door opened, you went in. If it don't go in, you don't open. You don't kick the door down and say, well, I'm going to take this house. No, you're not. Kick the wrong door down, you'd be like my buddy in Okinawa. He drank some drinks that were a little stronger than he thought. Tried to walk back to base. Thought he would stop on the way at a friend's house. Just barged right on in, and you got to understand, we called him Pagan. That was his nickname, Pagan. He was about yay tall. He was a little chubby guy, but he had this Slayer shirt that glowed in the dark and had this demon head on it called the Root of All Evil. And he would get guys that were drunk, and he'd get that thing glowing in the dark, and he'd come up to them in the night and wake them up, and that's what they saw. And you got Marines screaming. So Dave, Pagan, he takes his shirt off. He's walking down Okinawa Street, 90 degrees at 11:30 at night. Opens the door and barges right on in to a local's house. They all look the same. He had the wrong house. Sometimes the door you barge in isn't the door you thought it was. And that night, Pagan quit drinking. Because he got to spend some time with the Japanese police. And had to be picked up. Now, I gave you that example to so you understand, just because a door opened, don't mean you go through it. And I'm going to tell you right now, faith can sometimes be intoxicating too. I'm full of faith. I'm going to go through and I'm going to own that. No, he got owned. And I got a feeling Scott might have kicked his rear end for barging in his house like that. But more than likely, Scott's house would have been locked. So just because the door opened doesn't mean that's your door. You know, we do have to remember what Peter said. Be wary that your enemy, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, you know, one thing hunting has taught me is sometimes you got to bait a trap. Little corn here. Little, you know, you want to catch a deer, especially bucks, you got to have one of two things. Food or the promise of sex. Kind of with any man, really. Yep. But God, that's all right, Tim. It's actually going to give me a moment to. I'm proud of him for not just picking his coat up and start slamming it on the ground. But honestly, man, we need to talk about that ringtone. Jeez. I mean, I got Iron Man on mine. I don't know. Who's mine or his? Oh, okay. Do I have all the prayer requests? Nope, I see some right there. Thank you, sir. So if you understand why I don't, if God leads something when I pray, and I've just decided here lately until God says, throw them out here, that I'm going to lead, I need backup. Okay? I just find that's how it works. It works great. Not that God doesn't answer your prayers, but you need to understand, this is God answering your prayers. We are a spear. The tip goes through first, but the strength is in the rest. Well, I'm not part of the spearhead. The spearhead can't be thrown unless it's got a good shaft. And that shaft has to be the proper weight and strength in order to go through its target. So we need to understand, just because one person may be praying doesn't mean you're not part of it. Your agreement means so much more than just, well, you know, God just sees that I'm there. So, and sometimes I will tell you this, sometimes I pray and God shows me things to pray, especially in healing or situations. If I prayed it, that's all God showed me. That's all I can tell you. I didn't get any greater revelations. I do not consider myself a prophet, even though I know God has seemingly worked that way a few times. But that's how God does it. So we got some prayer requests for healing, many different things. I saw some people don't know how to forgive. See, when you ask those things, God answers and moves on it. So we're going to go ahead and pray. And like I said, just remember, these are things that your brothers and sisters in here are concerned about. Pray that God moves on them, because you've got to pray for them. I need to tell you, and then God moves in your life. I don't worry about what I'm going to eat. I don't worry about what I'm going to wear. By doing what I'm supposed to do, God takes care of all the rest. Okay? No matter what the economy looks like, no matter what people are saying, don't worry about all the sexual harassment stuff, your favorite news reporter, your favorite TV personality. Listen, it's going to get down to the point where if you ask a girl out, that's how ridiculous this is going to get. It's called a witch hunt. It ain't the first time it happened in this country. They did it looking for communists. They've done it looking for real witches. Didn't find as many as they thought. But anyhow, so let's go before the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.